You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome to the CHGO Blackhawks podcast presented by PointsBet. Use promo code CHGO when you sign up to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. Happy Throwback Thursday. I'm Jay Zawoski with Greg Boyson and Mario Tirabassi. Good afternoon, fellas. Good morning, whatever the hell it is these days.
Still morning, technically.
All right, technically still morning. It is Throwback Thursday. We've got a lot to get to, though, today. Throwback Thursday topics, they're going to be happy and sad. We're going to remember 17 seconds, which happened 9 years ago on Friday. So we're tomorrow. 8 years and 363 days removed from that magical moment. And then a not so magical moment that happened in 2017. In the same day, in a pair of trades, the Blackhawks trade Artemi Panarin and Nicholas Hjalmarsson. So that will be the throwback section. We also have a potential new coaching candidate. We've got the Wolves playing yet another Calder Cup game. We've got a Stanley Cup final game to talk about. There is a ton to get to. So why don't we start with kind of an interesting development yesterday. We saw the Florida Panthers have moved on from Andrew Burnett, who stepped in and did a very good job when Joel Quenneville walked away or was fired. Was he fired or did he resign?
I think he was told to get out.
Yeah, it was one of those stand. Oh, damn it. I owe 50 cents. I always said the first name. It was one of those he who shall not be named resignations. Like, why don't you just resign?
Yeah. Sort of a thing. We'll let you save some face, even though you really haven't earned that right. But
we'll let you coach one more game, while all this information is out there. We'll let you coach one more game.
Hang on, yes, we're still reading it.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Now you have to resign. Yeah.
We'll let you go lie one more time to the press.
Yeah. Oh man, such a the whole thing is so gross. Anyway, Andrew Burnett is available. That's the long and short of it. And
technically, yes. I believe they still say he's still under contract, kind of like a Derek King thing, but why would you stick around if you're offered a head coaching gig?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So Blackhawks legend, of course, Andrew Burnett. Everyone will remember him as a Blackhawk his
retired as a Blackhawk.
Yeah. I don't know. I was just sort of impressed by how he kept the Panthers afloat during all that stuff that went on with Joel Quenneville to replace that guy on the fly. Look, it was hard enough to do it. You know, Jeremy Calhoun had to do it too, but it's a very difficult situation to do. And that's a team that was looking to contend. And they did. They did contend, but they were out in the first round. If I'm Kyle Davidson, I'm making a phone call. I'm definitely making a call and talking to Andrew Burnett.
Yeah, absolutely. It was the second round they got bumped by.
Oh,
the,
my bad. Correct.
Round, Battle of Florida.
Yes. So Burnett was able to do something Joel Quenneville didn't do, and that was actually get the Panthers out of the first round. So
that's true.
In your face, mustache man. yeah, kind of weird. He was a Jack Adams Award finalist. He was considered one of the best three coaches in the league this year. And then he said it is. And it really doesn't mean a whole lot because guys who win Jack Adam Awards are always available. So, they win the first round. Who the heck did they beat in the first round? I can't even remember.
I swear to God.
Florida beat
It's one of the wild card teams. Washington.
Washington, right? Yes.
Okay.
That was 7 years ago.
It does feel so like that. I don't remember a damn thing about that series either.
Throwback Thursday. We're talking about this year's playoffs.
Yes. After spending the entire day at Guaranteed Rates Stadium with
Comiskey.
With the CHEO crew and our fans, my brain was burnt in the sun along with half of my body, so I'm not feeling it today. But they get swept by the Lightning in the second round. That's not Andrew Brunette's fault. I mean, yeah, there were some questionable coaching decisions there. He scratched Anthony Duclair with the season on the line. That's a Joel Quenneville move if I ever seen one.
Yes, absolutely.
Quenneville might have done the same thing, yeah.
But I don't see how that's his fault. Okay, it's one thing if, like, you're going to say, okay, Andrew, you don't have the experience. We're going to bring in, you know, a Hall of Fame coach. And here comes Paul Maurice again. Like, yeah, he's a really good coach. He's got a Stanley Cup under his belt from 65 years ago, it seems, but again, retreads. I'm so tired of it. Like, when do these young guys, these first year guys, get chances? And then Andrew Brunette's a guy that does, gets his first chance. I mean, granted, he wasn't necessarily a new hire. He was there and was like, just take this gig and let's see what we do.
Yeah.
And he does a really good job. And now he's gone, so you can bring in Paul Maurice so he can get his fourth or fifth time in his career. I mean, he wasn't fired in Winnipeg. He stepped down, but
I'm really glad that Paul Maurice took a lot of time away from hockey to, you know,
get back with
his health and with his family.
He spent 3 months with his family and said, I got to get the hell out of here and start coaching again.
Him and Urban Meyer, just like, you know, health issues.
Sure. Somebody asked me on Twitter yesterday, and I don't have an answer for this because it probably takes some research, but I mean, the NHL has to be the toughest league for first year coaches to get a job, right? It just seems that way.
Yeah.
It just seems that it's so hard for these guys to get their first job. And then once you get a job and you have any kind of success, you have a job for life. Some team will hire you. Pete DeBoer he's gotten the 3 Stanley Cup finals, but he hasn't won anything. He always manages to get fired. Gerard Gallant got to 1 Stanley Cup final, and he's around forever. Paul Maurice, John Tortorella won a Stanley Cup, almost 20 years ago? And he's been riding that to the bank since. It's got to be tough. At least the NFL seems to do a lot of, hey, here's the hot coordinator. Every offseason, we get 4 or 5 first-year coaches. Major League Baseball seems to do a pretty good job of getting guys who have just recently retired and letting them become managers right away. You look at Alex Cora. You look at David Ross here in Chicago. You know, the NBA, I don't follow them as much, but they seem to do a better job than the NHL. It seems like
NBA assistants really – get into head coaching jobs a lot easier than NHL assistants ever do.
It is very strange, and I it does seem like a specific hockey thing. And Design Love here in the chat says, doesn't it feel like most sports retread a little bit, but not like hockey. Hockey's like, you can almost say, like, these are the guys available, these are the guys that will be hired. Everyone is so afraid to take a chance, which is why when the Cowden hire was made, I was like, okay. It's something, it's not some retread guy. And yeah, it didn't work out.
Something different.
But that should not deter teams from doing that and taking a chance on somebody from Europe or a former player. We've been kind of jokingly off the air making this comment. Like, remember at the end of the year, they said they're going to find a position for Marian Hossa, right? And they announced their front office team yesterday. We're going to get to that later in the show. But it's like, why not? Why not ask Marian Hossa to be a head coach? Every player I've ever talked to, Bud Light events with them, and I'd say, hey, like, what is it like to play for Q? They almost all say, well, you know, we mostly deal with the assistants. The assistants are the ones that are giving us, like, most of the hands-on time. They're the ones, like, really communicating with us on the bench, where the head coach is an overseer and, like, the ultimate decision maker and all those sort of things. Mm-hmm. You know, the assistants are the ones who do a lot of the, like, hands-on with the players. Marian Hossa, I think, knows enough about the game where he should get a chance from somebody to jump in and try to coach. I just don't think it's not reinventing the wheel here. It's just not. And I'm not advocating that the Hawks hire Marian Hossa, but I just think the idea of something like that shouldn't just be dismissed because, oh, there's John Tortorella available and Rick Tocchet. We went over Rick Tocchet's numbers last week. He's got a worse coaching record than Jeremy Colleton. His win percentage is like 0.423 or something terrible. Rick Tocchet is not a good coach. And yeah, he did not coach really strong teams either. But like, why is he this hot commodity? It's like there's a brand of coach. You have to be this like gruff former player that was good, but not too good. Like, it's just this really weird dynamic of, it's like people in hockey are fearful to do something that's against the grain. And it's, and I think it holds the sport back a little bit. And look, the playoffs have been great. The cup final has been good. Like, that sport isn't broken by any means, but I just don't think that thinking outside the box every now and again is not the worst idea.
Yeah. I mean, you need to start looking at guys that have had success at other level. Look at John Cooper in the Tampa Bay Lightning. He won at the ECHL championship. He won a North American league. He won an NHL championship, then an ECHL, then an EHL. And now, you know, he's in trouble now, but hell, he's had a lot of success. You know, that's why like a guy like Ryan Warsawski with the Wolves needs to be a guy that needs to start getting some pub. He's won an ECHL title and on his way to winning an AHL title. These guys coaching in those minor leagues is huge. I think they need the more AHL coaches need to get promoted to be NHL coaches. It just needs to be done. I mean, I'm tired of the same old guys who go there, they get their team to have some immediate success. And then in 2 years, you're looking for the next retread because these guys wear out their welcome. Maybe it's an ego thing. Maybe they're just too hard on today's players. You know, I'm a big advocate for getting guys who are closer to the age of today's players. It's a different game than some of these guys. Daryl Sutter, yeah, he had some success in Calgary, but he hasn't played the game in over 30 years. He can't relate to these 20-year-old kids that want to, you know, make TikTok videos on the flights and stuff like that. You know, you need guys who are closer to the player's age, who are closer removed from playing this style of hockey. You know, how can a guy that played in the 70s and 80s relate to the speed and the skill that's being played in today's game? I just don't get it.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, I think a coach that is like Daryl Sutter, John Tortorella, even, you know, these guys that have been around for a very long time, have been away from playing the game for a long time, unless they are seeing the game as it is evolving and changing with it, yeah, you have a bit of a disconnect potential when you make them head coaches. I mean I look at the Flyers getting John Tortorella, and I you know, watching Tortorella speak his mind in the past in his different head coaching stops, and then watching him do it on TV, I don't really know that he's really changed much, and I don't really know that he's evolving with the game. I think he's just gonna coach the way that he thinks the game should be coached, and I think the majority of the league doesn't play that way anymore. And I don't know. I just don't see how that situation is going to turn out any better than the Flyers already have it. And yeah, I think you have, if bringing it back to Andrew Brunette, you know, he's just about 10 years removed from playing, but he's been an assistant pretty much the entire time he's been retired. So he's been around the game as a coach, and he's had that experience. He's been with, you know, some successful teams. And I mean, yeah, you could say, quote unquote, anybody could have coached that Panthers team with how talented it was. Sure. But there, you know, you still had to go through a team that talented, going through a coaching change, losing a coach like Joel Quenneville, who has that stature. There's going to be some troubles to have to overcome. And I think, you know, Brunette did a good job. I think Kyle Davidson reaching out to Brunette should be done. I think it would be a disservice not to at least gauge the interest that he could have and just see what he could do. And to the point of Hossa, yeah, at this point, I'm looking at who we've been told is on the Blackhawks radar, who could potentially be on their radar, who's potentially still available. And, you know, like you said, like, we're kind of jokingly like, oh, why not marry Hossa? Screw it. Why not? Would giving Hossa an opportunity to actually coach, and he's not far removed from the game. He was a very talented player, a very talented mind for the game. Would that be any worse than having an assistant be brought up or doing a retread or giving a guy a second or a third opportunity. I don't think it's any worse.
We talk about presence. There is a presence.
Yeah, exactly.
Hossa can command a room.
Yes, exactly. Absolutely.
Well, here would be the funny, ironic thing. If Andrew Brunette turns out to be the Hawks guy, maybe, you know, he blows them away and that's who they want and they hire him. And it would be like a little thumb to the nose to everybody who was like, hey, what are you taking so long for? Why didn't you hire a coach the day after the season ended? Well, maybe if you did, Andrew Brunette, you're not looking for him anymore.
Yeah.
You know, when you're not looking for one of those big name guys and the Hawks aren't, they're not trying to get Bruce Cassidy or Barry Trotz, rightfully so. You could take your time and maybe a guy that you didn't expect to be in there could fall in your laps. I would have no problem with Andrew Brunette coming in. I don't know if that's the type of move they're going to make, but I can't guess what Kyle Davidson does at this point. And that's a good thing, I think.
And that's the other thing is it doesn't really seem like the names that have been actually rumored to be tied to the Blackhawks, they don't seem like the guys that have already been a head coach, you know, this season or too recently, other than Todd Reirden. But even then, it's like that was a short stint that he had. And it just seems like they're kind of going in not in the carousel direction, which is good. It's refreshing. You're avoiding those, you know, rehires, but, I don't know. It's still hard to get a gauge on things. And we only really know of one coach that has actually had an interview. So we're getting down to the wire. We're, you know, a week and a half away from July 1st. And
that was a date.
Two and a half weeks away from the start of the draft. And yeah, I mean, they gotta get their coach eventually.
Yeah.
I think once the final ends, we'll get some more traction. We'll get some movement pretty quickly. They may have a guy in mind that's still in the AHL or NHL final right now that they need to wait to talk to. So I think once those two series wrap up, which should be happening in the next few days here, we may get some quick movement on that front.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned Wolves coach Wayne Warsawski. It's me at the Wolves names. He might be a candidate for an NHL team. I know, Greg, you said you reported the other day that he has at least one interview lined up with an NHL team. Got the Wolves out to a 2-1 series lead in the Calder Cup Finals last night with a 4-0 win over Springfield. So the Wolves just keep doing what they're doing, man.
Richard Panik, third straight game in the Calder Cup Final with a goal. Second straight with the opening goal. The dude has been... he's been money in this series for them. And Piotr Kochekov, the feisty, popular goaltender with the shutout last night. And since Springfield scored that overtime goal to steal game one, the Wolves have outscored them 10-2. So, you know, it's a team that just like, you know what, we're better than you. And we're just going to do what we do, and you can't stop us. Yeah. little MJF for you on a Thursday. But, yeah, they're impressive. They got, you know, that series might come back to Chicago for game 6 and 7, maybe. I think Springfield will win at least one of those home games. And that was Springfield's first home ice loss in the postseason last night. So we'll see. Friday and Saturday are games 4 and 5. But, you know, by the time we get back together for Monday, there could be a Calder Cup champion and a Stanley Cup champion crowned.
Yeah.
Boy. It's going to be interesting. I'm really curious to see if indeed the Hawks are waiting to talk to somebody when this ends, who that would be.
It has to be, right?
I think they might be. I can't remember if where I read it, but Derek Lalonde with the assistant coach of Tampa Bay was someone that I think was either tied to it or is just someone that should be on the radar. I wouldn't be surprised if there's an assistant with either of those teams that they are they're maybe waiting to talk to, or it might be Ryan Warshawski.
Jay Serio brings up a good point as we're talking about Hossa here. Hurricanes did it with Brind'Amour. The Canadiens did it with Martin St. Louis. It's been done before. Montreal was very happy with St. Louis. Brind'Amour's success, everyone knows how good he's been since he took over as head coach there. Let's be clear. There's no indication that Marian Hossa even wants to coach or is being considered.
No, this is just us spitballing.
It's us spitballing because the Hawks said we're going to find a role for him somewhere.
Yeah, and I think Hossa likes living in Slovakia and having the sunshine wherever he walks. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, definitely.
He may be like, yeah, no, I'm cool. I'll come back and wave to the crowd every 6 months. But the hell, I'm not dealing with this crap.
It is interesting that, you know, they made the, I know we're going to talk about it in a second, but they made all the front office kind of shuffling yesterday, and he wasn't a part of it, but that's still, as far as we understand, something that will happen is he'll have some sort of role with the Blackhawks in the front office in some capacity. So we'll see what that turns out to be.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, look, if I'm Hossa and they're asking me to coach, like, do I want to ruin my legacy and go coach a rebuild for a team? Like, I'm beloved in Chicago. Why tarnish that at all? Like, I think of Dirk Graham. It's like Dirk Graham was a Hawks legend and then didn't do well as a head coach. Not his fault. The roster wasn't good. And now he's like, you don't even hear about him anymore.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, I mean, with, you know, Savard, did it really tarnish him too much? I mean,
yeah, good point. He's untarnishable. That guy is just like such a delight.
Yeah. Loves him. That and the fact that, like, once he left, they started winning Stanley Cups. Yeah. So that kind of helped a little bit.
So it wasn't like, oh, wasted time.
He's kind of like credited for being the guy that helped Taves and Kane and Keith and Seabrook transition and become NHL players. And then once they got good.
Young in their career. The next guy took.
So I think that's why people don't look back at that and say, ugh.
That's right. I kind of like that topic as like an August topic for us. You know, like, what was Dennis Savard's real impact as a coach? And I think the Hawks would happy to be put him on with us and him talk about his time. Because, yeah, I mean, look, remember Patrick Kane was in tears when that happened. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's not like Savard was doing a terrible job. They got off to a slow start that year, but like.
Almost made the playoffs.
Yeah, they'd in 08. Been doing okay under him. So, look, but it's time. Like, you realize, okay, it's time to win. Let's bring in the guy that we hired.
And a guy like Joel Quenneville becomes available. You've got balls in your lap and you say, we got to do it right now.
Just like Seattle did with, Bylsma. They just hired Bylsma as like a minor league coach.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Their AHL coach.
That's the, hey, Dave, pressure's on, pal. We've hired your replacement before we've gotten your ass to the curb.
Yep. The Coachella Valley Firebirds.
Yeah, there you go.
Sounds like a music fest.
Yeah, it sounds fun. You know what else is fun? Betting on sports. And the best way to do that and the best way to support CHGO is to download the PointsBet app and use the code CHGO when you sign up. You're going to do that and you're going to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. But you're also going to get, if you make a $50 or more first-time deposit, a free CHGO membership that unlocks all of our great web content. And you'll even get a free shirt of your choice from the CHGO locker. I got the Bulls one on today. I love this one. I love all of them, but this one especially. Yeah, NBA draft tonight. Huge show for the CHGO Bulls, so make sure you're tuned into that during the draft. That's $2,000 in free bets, a free CHGO membership, and a free t-shirt from the CHGO locker, all for making a $50 or more first-time deposit at PointsBet. It's your home for live in-play betting, and it just got even better. If you see an edge in the game you're watching, jump on it. It's more live betting, more live markets, faster live cash outs. Follow along with your bets the moment they hit and stay in the live action all game long. Download that PointsBet app right now and use promo code CHGO. What are you waiting for? It's time to elevate your live betting game. Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER for crisis counseling and referral services.
And CHGO Blackhawks and CHGO Sports are partnered with Athletic Greens. They are proud of their AG1 product. We've been using it across the show. I know Jay, your wife, has been using it and having some good results with that. I've been using it. I have a problem with consistency, but when I do use it, I feel great. I just got to make sure to make it a part of my daily routine. That's on me. That's not on Athletic Greens at all, because their product is great.
Get it together.
I feel great when I use it, but then I'm just like, I just sometimes, you know, with I hate to blame my daughter, quote unquote, but sometimes with an 8 month old, you know, you get off your morning routine from time to time. But
sometimes you spend an entire day eating encased meats at a baseball park.
Yeah, sometimes you do that as well.
That happens too.
But the AG1 formula, it's designed to improve your gut health, optimize your immune system, and give you more natural energy. In just one scoop of that, you're absorbing 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. And if you have different dietary restrictions, whatever they are, dairy-free, gluten-free, if you follow a keto diet, whatever it is, with AG1, you're good to go. It's easy to incorporate into your life no matter how busy you might be. That is a line just for me. A once-a-day habit with big benefits. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. Just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens and CHGO are combining to give you a great offer. They're going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you got to do is go to athleticgreens.com/CHGO Blackhawks. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/CHGO Blackhawks to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
All right. Whilst devouring encased meats yesterday at the White Sox game, and that was a great time. Thanks to everybody that came out and joined us.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. And all the people at Weber, and oh man, what a great time. Anyway, while that game was happening and the Sox were getting their asses handed to them, here's your asses, courtesy of the Toronto Blue Jays.
Hey, they made it interesting towards the end there. They made it interesting.
I left after the Grand Slam because I had softball to
coach. You had a good reason.
Yes. We get the email. Blackhawks finalized hockey operations leadership team with Mark Eaton and Megan Hunter as assistant general managers. So it says, in an update that completes the Chicago Blackhawks hockey operations leadership team, Blackhawks GM Kyle Davidson today announced that Mark Eaton will remain assistant general manager development, and Megan Hunter has been promoted to assistant general manager of hockey operations. Additionally, it was announced that Brian Campbell will remain in hockey operations as advisor of hockey operations, while Carolyn Pilch has been promoted to director of player personnel. So lots of big changes. Obviously, we know about Norm McIver and Jeff Greenberg that happened already. So this officially completes the Blackhawks front office team. So I don't know, not a ton to react to there, but it's just, it is done. This is the team going forward. Obviously, cool, very cool that there is a pair of females involved. Never a bad idea to involve more people, get more insights and backgrounds and those sort of things on your team. But it looks like this is the crew from now on. I really like, you know, the Brian Campbell thing. He's like ever present and his role is incredibly vague. I would love to just talk to him and be like, what do you do? And maybe he just like does whatever needs to be done.
He's a wizard. He's the man behind the curtain.
Go watch this player. Go, you know, go to Rockford and talk to Nicholas Beaudin or whatever. Like, I think that might be what Brian Campbell does, because he's spotted everywhere the Hawks are. You know,
I think Brian Campbell is secretly the GM.
He bought the Blackhawks. He bought them behind, and he's that's a guy that I'd love to get in studio and just sit down and talk hockey with.
Yeah.
And then we could say, first of all, Brian, welcome to the show. What is it that you do here?
What does he say you do here? Yeah. I mean, they can't officially name him like Kyle Davidson's buddy, but, you know, an advisory role. You know, he worked with, development in the last few seasons. He was really instrumental in you know, Adam Boqvist's development early on in his career when he was still in junior and early on when he was with the Blackhawks as well. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there's a development role for him. I think there's, you know, maybe some consulting on just maybe a little bit more of the higher up front office ins and outs that maybe he's helping Kyle Davidson with a little bit. And, you know, I just think having a guy who, you know, has a pretty good history with the team and, you know, had a long, successful career and just, you know, is a guy that has a lot of knowledge to bounce ideas off of. It's not a bad person to have around the front office in some sort of role. Carolyn Pilch, Megan Hunter, they've ascended, especially Megan Hunter. She's been around a long time and has worn a lot of hats with the organization. And, you know, she was a fantastic player at Wisconsin. in her college career and playing days. So, you know, having her around and seeing her climb the ladder is awesome. And yeah, I think it's just, it's good now to go into the draft, go into free agency, and eventually have a head coach and have the front office. Like, this is who it's going to be. This is who we are moving forward.
Forgive my old man brain. This information has deleted itself from my head. Is she of the Dale Hunter Hunters?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
I believe she is his niece.
Okay.
Let me look that up here.
So she'll punch you in the mouth if she has to, too.
She might.
That's Brian Campbell's department, if that ever comes up.
I think I don't have like a ton of opinions on the type of job this group is going to do, because they're pretty, not a lot of overall experience there, you know. And let's be honest, none of us know what these people do on a day-to-day basis. We're not there, you know. But here's my opinion on all of that. I think it's really great that the Blackhawks as a whole have kind of gotten really progressive. You've got Jamie Faulkner in a position of power. Danny Wirtz is younger, fresher, got new ideas. Kyle Davidson, the youngest GM in the league, and he's putting together this team of all. You got Norm McIver is kind of like the dad of this group. And then, you know, you bring in Jeff Greenberg from the Cubs because he's a numbers guy. And then you're promoting two more women to positions, you know, where they can have a lot of say in what goes on here. And I think it's very awesome that they're doing this. Now, it could turn out that none of these people are good at their jobs, but, you know, aesthetically, it looks really great. And Kyle Davidson is a guy that has pretty much announced to the world that, hey, this is a really hard job. I'm not even going to try and do it on my own. I'm going to assemble a team of people who are very smart. They each bring their own thing, their own line of thinking, and I'm going to listen to all of them and then form my own opinions based on what my team tells me what to do, and I will make my decisions on that. And that is so refreshing. After what we've had to deal with, he who shall not be named, who was like, yeah, I got all these scouts, but F them. I'm not going to listen to them. I want to pick the kid from Notre Dame again this year.
It even goes beyond that, though, with that era, because you had Al McIsaac was sort of like McDonough's right-hand man. And like, from what I understand, and this is, you know, things I've been told, I can't verify these, so don't sue me. But like, he was sort of like the right-hand man to McDonough, and like, he would kind of report back, and then he would kind of infiltrate, and like
he was the stooge.
Everything was pulling from different sides. Like, you had the scouts who wanted this thing, you had McIsaac and McDonough who wanted this, you had Bowman who wanted this, and it just all like clashed, and none of it worked.
You're
and
up that's to a why, dollar.
Damn it! And why? It's easier. I don't have any change. When you look at the dynamic of that, that's why this Hawks thing is such a freaking train wreck, because you don't have a unified vision for what it should be. You've got throwing Bowman throw him a bone, then throw McIsaac and McDonough a bone, and then throw the coach 50. A bone. And it just doesn't work. You need a clear path that everyone agrees upon. And hopefully, like you said, Greg, it looks right. You know, like when you put it on paper, like, okay, you got the numbers guy, the hockey, the former player, the young GM, all these great things, it feels like it should work. Now, the hard part is making it work. But like, as long as they're all on the same team, that's going to be where the success comes. It's when you've got 15 different things pulling in 15 different directions that you have what the Blackhawks are now, which is a rudderless ship.
I think that's one of the biggest reasons why what Jeff Greenberg is going to be doing and working on with, you know, especially internally with the communication system that they want to set up, the data and communication system they want to set up within the organization. I think that's one of the biggest things that he's going to be tasked with doing, is making sure, hey, everyone together, here's all of our information. Here's, you know, what everyone needs to know. And it's all centralized. And I think that they're trying to avoid, probably Davidson from experience wants to avoid that miscommunication, different people have different agendas, being on different pages kind of thing. So hopefully, like you said, hopefully all of that is put in place in the right way, and it can be a united front office that can put together a quality team. If you don't have these conflicting viewpoints, then you don't have someone going over somebody else's head. You don't have a GM going over the scouting department and saying, I want to select this guy when this guy was the scout's consensus pick or whatever it is. And then you run into these problems.
And it just seems that like the Blackhawks have hired Kyle Davidson, and now they're going to let him do his job. Here you go. Do your thing. Great. And that's what you do. That's what you do. You put the person you think is capable of the job, and then you get the hell out of his way and let him do his damn job. And that's what it looks like. And it's refreshing. Let's see if it works out. The only other interesting thing I took away from that press release is it said that Mark Eaton will be overseeing the Rockford IceHogs. So Mark Bernard has been the general manager there. Now, they didn't say he's the general manager of the IceHogs. They just said that he was going to oversee the IceHogs. So it makes me wonder what's up with Mark Bernard, who's been there for a long time, as long as I can remember. Mm-hmm. In fact, I actually just saw him at Game 2 of the Calder Cup Final, checking out the action, wearing his nice Blackhawks fleece. So, it was interesting to see what happens there. Now that the Hawks officially own the IceHogs, maybe they're like, the IceHogs is going to be so freaking important over these next 4 or 5 years. So maybe they're like, you know what? Mm-hmm. Mark Bernard was a independent IceHogs guy. It's time to put someone who actually works for the organization in charge there. Cause Kyle Davidson, for years, it seemed the IceHogs were an afterthought to he who shall not be named. It was more of like, well, I guess we have to use this team because it's league rules, where Davidson is going to be like, no, for the next 3-4 seasons, the IceHogs are going to be more important than the Blackhawks. And that's what you need to have.
So I'm looking at the updated front office page here for the Blackhawks, and Mark Eaton is listed as the assistant general manager of development. And he is in a category by himself, whereas Mark Bernard is listed as the president of hockey operations and general manager of the Rockford IceHogs in the team affiliates page. So it looks like Eaton kind of became his own, the assistant general manager in its own category of development, which I would imagine is tied to scouting. And
so maybe Bernard is still a general manager, but he reports to Eaton when it comes to dealing with the Blackhawks.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it could be.
I just sent a text. Maybe we'll get an answer by the end of the show. We'll see what happens. Live podcasting, everybody. It's a lot of fun. Good catch on that, Greg. I had not noticed that because I'm old and dumb. So Hawks are going to suck for a while. We have established that. You know who else sucked for a long time? The Colorado Avalanche. But what they did was they stuck with a plan and saw it through and developed and built through the draft. And lo and behold, they're a win away from capturing a Stanley Cup. Did you either of you two think that goal was in? I thought he saved it. I thought Vasilevskiy.
I thought Vasilevskiy had it like under his legs.
And I couldn't. My brain could not compute how he would have made that save because of the angle Kadri took, and he shot it. I'm like, it either went wide, or it's going to go in. And I'm like, wait, how did he save that? Well, he didn't.
I didn't hear anything because I mean, I got home just in time for the overtime, so I got to see all the overtime live. I thought maybe he shot it wide and it went into the netting over the glass because it made zero sound.
Yeah, there was no sound
at
all.
And all of a sudden they're celebrating. Like Kadri didn't even celebrate it. Everybody skated by him to celebrate. He's like, oh, I guess I scored.
The only person who started celebrating was Bowen Byram. He came all the way from like behind the blue line. It was pointing at the puck stuck in the net. And I was like, wait a minute. No, like I thought maybe it like hit the post and went down and like Vasilevskiy like just kind of like luckily like may have like skated over it, but yeah, it was top shelf.
So if
shades of Patrick Kane in Philadelphia where you were like, the F is going on here?
So if you missed it, game 4 in Tampa, overtime, Kadri cuts wide and then pulls it a front hand, shoots it far side. It gets stuck between the crossbar.
It's like the back post.
Like the rounded post where the Gatorade bottle would rest and the net. And it was lodged there. And like you said, Bowen Byram is the only person who saw it where he chased down the ice. Like, it's right there. And the referee's like, oh, yeah, there it is. And Kadri met with Emily Kaplan after the game. And he's like, I had no idea what happened. I thought he saved it. And I thought the play was dead. And then all of a sudden people are celebrating with me. So it's been a great series, and John Cooper weird after the game last night.
He's very weird.
Just like, talk to me later. I'll be available tomorrow. I get you're upset. It's a tough way to lose, but
well, it's the you know, everything is able to be slowed down with replay and everything now. So
yeah,
the controversy is that Kadri jumped on the ice real quick before Nathan MacKinnon got off the ice. So it should have been, quote unquote, too many men on the ice. But in the same play, the Lightning also had two players hop on before those players getting off were
there were
near
13
the bench.
Guys on the ice at one point. So, and you know what? How many that happens in a hockey game a dozen times a game?
It also had nothing
none of those extra guys affected the play in one way, shape, or form. There was two guys that had a foot on the ice getting on the bench as the other guys jumped on. It didn't matter. Like, I know rules are rules, but I mean, that if you call that every time it happened in a game, there'd be a whistle every 3 minutes.
I can't remember who I saw online make this comparison, but they said it's like holding in the NFL. Like, you could literally call it every single play. And if you did, you'd have to completely change the rule. And it's one of those rules where, you know, unless you're going to make it where you cannot step onto the ice until the player getting off is on the bench, you're going to have these judgment calls and you're going to have these things happen.
And you're going to need a fifth official just to sit at the benches to make sure everything goes. Like,
right. Yeah.
This happens so many times. So many goals are scored with an extra guy having a foot on the ice. But I get it. It's an overtime goal in a very important Stanley Cup final game. So it gets put under the microscope. Yes. NHL officiating has had an absolutely awful postseason. Yeah, it has been an abomination. This is not one of those plays where I'm screaming my head off. This is not something. None of those extra guys on, as you mentioned, Tampa had two extra guys on the ice at one point before that goal was played. So none of that affected the outcome of that play. It wasn't like Kadri was on the ice waiting for the puck, as you know, and the sixth guy passed him the puck.
Right.
It happens, and it happens a lot. And you know, it was a great play by Kadri. I'm happy for him. First game back after a broken thumb because Evander Kane is a turd, and he gets the game-winning goal, and good for him. Good for him. Well, that's another guy we've talked about, Valerie. Nikushkin is going to get a ton of money this postseason.
Mm-hmm.
Kadri's a free agent too, and he's going to cash in somewhere and get some good money. He's a guy that toes the line of clean and dirty, but he's a hell of a hockey player, and I'm happy for him. That guy's been through so much crap in his entire career.
And he's been the scapegoat for some playoff exits before, so.
Right, and it's funny. He's no longer on Toronto, and yet they still can't win in the first round. So maybe it's got nothing to do with Nazem Kadri.
Now it's William Nylander's fault.
Right.
Yeah, of course.
This year. Last year it was Mitch Marner. Now it's William Nylander for the second time in 3 years.
Next year it'll be Morgan Riley, and then they can try and
the
trade
year after
him.
That,
and,
it will be Austin Matthews' receding hairline's fault. And, you know.
Dude.
That's a rough look.
That was.
We were watching the awards, and my wife goes, "What's going on with his hairline?" I'm like,
he's refusing to give it up.
He's much better looking
Austin
than I am.
Austin Matthews was a mustache away from pulling off full "I drive a van with no windows" vibe. Like, it was creepy.
Yeah.
He did win the heart and the Ted Lindsay. Hey, so
it's hard, as we said the other day, hard to argue with that. But I think doing what he did in Toronto got him a few extra votes.
Yeah. How about did you guys see the voting breakdown for the Norris?
No, but I saw Roman Josi looking pissed the entire night.
So Josi had more.
Good.
Josi had more first place votes. I think it was like 98-92 over Makar, but Makar had more like second and third, and Josi was like, you know, spread out between second, third, fourth place. The like total point difference was like 28 points. It was like 1630 to like 1602. It was crazy. Wow. It was very close.
I could see Josi was just like, what do I have to do? What do I have to do to win this? Well, you're not Cale Makar. Therefore, you're not the best.
You're a very handsome gentleman who makes millions of dollars a year to play a sport. I don't feel bad for
him.
He'll
be fine. He is very
He's got a Norris, and you know, maybe he'll win another one. Who knows? He's got a lot of career left. But as long as Cale Makar keeps putting together seasons like this and could potentially even get better, that's going to be hard to do.
Yeah, that's first of many Norrises and some hearts along or in the future of Caleb potentially. McCart.
On Mailbag Monday, we had someone say, should Patrick Kane reach out to drunken Connor McDavid? Maybe he should reach out to Austin Matthews about hairline maintenance. Because for a while there, it was looking like Kaner was going to be in, you know, he started to look like Bill Murray and Kingpin a little bit for a while. But whatever's happened, he has figured it out.
Hey, listen, Austin, my guy, there are billboards all up and down 294 that are waiting for you. You'll get paid and you'll get hair.
Yeah, there you go. Him and Brian Urlacher. And then he'll turn into a jumper too. And
I mean, his slap shot is so nasty that it scares the head away from the front of his forehead.
That must be what it is. That's how it is. Yeah, it was. I shouldn't talk, but I'm 44. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's the other thing too. Like seeing him look so old, I'm like, you're like 23, bud. Like,
it's Toronto, man. It's Toronto.
It's a lot of stress.
We always do the comparison. Like, here's what the president looked like on inauguration day, and here's what he looks like 4 years later. Here's what playing in Toronto for 5 years ages you.
Yeah,
look at McDavid. McDavid looks disheveled some days. I'm just like, oh man, being in Edmonton really ages you fast. Apparently.
All right, let's get to some happy and sad memories. But first, let's give our points bet play of the week, Mario.
Yes,
we're making you do it this week because we suck.
what was the play of the week last week?
Golf.
I had the golf one. That's correct.
You picked the guy I never heard of that plays golf.
Xander Schauffele did not win.
Oh,
man. No. Unfortunately, I was
really rooting for what's his name again.
Yeah. he. I think he finished top 20. So you know, I wasn't too far off.
I was pulling for Zoolander. whatever his name is.
That was pretty close. But with this one, I'm going to stick in the Stanley Cup final. I'm going to go with tomorrow night, game 5 in Colorado at plus 1400 odds. I am going to ride the wave and say Nazem Kadri scores the opening goal of the game.
Plus 1400 is nice odds.
Plus 1400, pretty good value there. I think, you know, you talk about stories and you talk about, you know, players coming back and having a really big impact. Nazem Kadri when he has been on the ice for Colorado, it has been so impactful and one of the more underrated players, especially when you got, you know, Rantanen and McKinnon and Makar, those are the guys really driving the bus. But Kadri, you know, when he's there, he's making an impact. So I think he's going to, I think, plus 1400. He scored the winner last night. He's going to ride that momentum. He's going to get the first goal of the game tomorrow night, game 5. So lock that in at on your points bet app, plus 1400. It's paying out pretty well.
That's nice.
Going with the Hollywood script bet there.
Why not?
I mean, Kadri is very valuable. Look what happened when he got suspended last year. They lost to Vegas. Like, mm-hmm. they needed him in that series. But all is forgiven as of now.
All right, make sure you download that PointsBet app and use the code CHGO when you do. All right, should we start with the fun stuff or the not so fun stuff?
Let's just rip through the not so fun stuff real quick.
Tear the Band-Aid off.
Not so fun stuff is still kind of okay. I mean, yes, this was 5 years ago today, ahead of the 2017 draft, which was held at the United Center. He who shall not be named decided it's time to shake up the team after getting swept by the Nashville Predators. And he pulled off two major trades. The first one was Nicholas Jarmelson to the Arizona Coyotes for Larry Dolphin, Laurent Dauphin, and Connor Murphy. Hindsight at the time, very unpopular trade. Hindsight, Blackhawks have won that trade. There's no doubt about that. Jarmelson was a shell of himself, was really good for a while, but kept getting injured, has since retired. And Connor Murphy plays along that same type of style Jarmelson did.
He's Jarmelson light.
He's a little not as crazy as Jarmelson.
Even though he might be technically bigger than him, but yeah.
But since Murphy's been here, he's been the best defenseman the Blackhawks have had, overall. He's had some trouble staying on the ice because of the style he plays. He gets injuries, but overall, that's turned out to be a pretty good trade for the Blackhawks, even though we all love Nicholas Jarmelson and what he represented, and we hated the trade at the time. But looking back on it now, 5 years later, I'd make that trade again.
What about the other one?
The other one, we got Brendan Saad back. When Artemi Panarin got traded to the Columbus Blue Jackets for Brendan Saad, round two, and goaltender Anton Forsberg. Saad was good.
Yeah, it's fine.
In round two,
he had two
goals. He was Saad.
I think he had 45 goals over the two seasons he was back. Mm-hmm. He did what he did. I understood the move. You wanted to get tougher. You lost to the Blues the years before. You got pushed around by the Predators. But let's face it, this move was known because I'm not going to be able to re-sign Artemi Panarin. He's going to be a free agent, so get something while you can. You should have got more. And he shall not be named. Premonition became true because he played two seasons with Columbus and then said, see ya, I'm going for the big money. So what would have been worse outcome? Having Panarin for two more years and probably either don't make the playoffs or losing the first round and then lose him for nothing, or get Brendan Saad, who didn't help you get to the playoffs, and then you traded him for Nikita Zadorov, so you essentially gave him up for nothing. Another example of he who shall not be named piss poor salary cap management and what it costs you.
What you do is what a competent GM does is when you find Artemi Panarin, you say, how do we have this guy be the face of our next generation? And you start making some very difficult and unpopular decisions ahead of time. And you don't give Brent Seabrook an absurd contract. And when was that deal signed? The Seabrook deal was signed in 17, wasn't it?
16. Was it 16? Wasn't it?
Yeah. So you have Artemi Panarin there. That's when you say, we're going to have to move Brent Seabrook or walk away from Brent Seabrook here because we need to keep Artemi Panarin. That's what a competent decision, GM does.
Yes, give up Panarin because we have to pay Brent Seabrook. That's just
That's why they're in the spot they're in right now.
And yet, he got a promotion to be team president. Just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The Seabrook contract was heading into the 15-16. So it was heading into the 15-16 season. It was an extension. Yep. So
Panarin was here, but we had no idea how good he was.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the same summer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, still. That was to me, that's the moment where he who shall not be named lost his damn mind. I was like, he's a pretty average GM. You know, up until that point, I'm like, what is he doing? This is a franchise ruiner.
He made some decent moves during those cup years to get cheap veteran guys, your Brad Richards, your bringing back Christopher Stieg. He made some savvy moves to get those depth guys, those role players that you need to win a Stanley Cup. But then that Seabrook deal was the beginning of the end where
He was able to extend that current window, but he wasn't opening the next window. It was just okay. This is open now. This is open now in 2010, 2011, 2012. Can we keep it till a few more years? But it wasn't that you weren't looking to. Okay, here's the next wave of people that we need to open up that window. It was just let's just keep this window open as long as we can. And then it slams shut.
All right. Tomorrow is the 9-year anniversary of 17 seconds. That and Nashville game 5 are like the little phrases you could say to Hawks fans that make them smile, right? And I'm going to ask you fellas first where you were for 17 seconds.
I was in the same exact bar, the Edison Park Inn, that I was for 2010. Same exact bar, same exact table. We might have even had the same waitress, but it was like, nope, this worked in 2010. Got it. We can't screw it up. I was wearing my Christopher Stieg 32 jersey just like I was in 2010. It's like, we're doing everything the exact same way we did in 2010. And you're welcome.
It worked.
Thank you, Greg.
It worked. I was at the now closed Pitchfork Saloon on Irving Park Road in Chicago. It was the first of two cups. Me and my wife and a group of friends went and saw at that bar. So we did it the second time in 2015, but 2013 was the first time it happened. And yeah, it was awesome. It was the first time I was in the city for a cup final appearance in a bar for a cup final appearance. So it was awesome. I remember thinking, okay, we're going to a game 7. I remember that game being another nail biter, tough back and forth. And in a span of basically 2 minutes of real time, going from, okay, game seven back in Chicago, planning my future, planning my week around what's going to happen for that game, to them being, okay, I guess we'll go to overtime. We'll figure it out in the next few minutes. And then obviously 17 seconds of game time goes by and the Blackhawks steal the cup. I think my wife might still have some hearing damage from me screaming in her ear after that goal. Cause it was just like, you know, everyone's still high fiving, you know, everyone's still celebrating.
I thought it was a replay of yeah. the Bickle goal. Yeah. I was like, oh, they're showing the wait, that's a lot. Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember just like grabbing her, hugging her, being like, ah, and she like pushed me away. She's like, oh my God. Like, but yeah, it was, man, it was a good time.
Neil in the chat says his first ever NHL game was a Hawks home opener in 2013. One of the best times to get into the sport. You think?
Absolutely.
It was a good time.
That
good,
season Neil. Was something else. And I will definitely do a deep dive with 2013. Maybe next offseason.
That was
the anniversary.
That was the shortened season too.
Yeah, that was the season where the Hawks were just like, I don't remember even having high expectations for them coming into that season. And then they were just like
juggernaut.
Just beating people over the head and enjoying it. And then, you know, again, we talked about the Seabrook goal. Like, we'll get into a deep dive of this whole, like we did for 2010. We got a two-part series of that. We'll do that probably next off season when there's less uncertainty going on and for the 10th anniversary. But
yeah, I hope so.
That was a special series for me because that was the first time I had ever had NHL credentials, was for the 2013 Stanley Cup final when I was working for Second City Hockey. And I was nervous about them losing game six because I thought there was no way I was going to be able to be unbiased in a press box of game seven of the Stanley Cup final at the United Center. I'm like, I'm going to get banned for life because I'm going to be, you know, getting in the fights with the Boston reporters. And like another kind of melancholy moment was because my father had passed away the previous September. And like in 2010, the first thing I did after like we figured out they won was call him. Got to get him before he goes to bed because I'm sure he went to bed like 5 minutes after that goal. And like instinctively, I reached for my phone to call home and was like, "Oh, he's not there," you know. So that was, you know, it was a special moment for that as well. It was sad, but you know, those are, you know, your life moments that you remember, the good and the bad.
Definitely.
So, you know,
absolutely.
It was what a night. And I can't remember the following morning, but what a night.
We were in Boston with the score for the Cup final. Dan McNeil and Matt Spiegel were at the game and credentialed. I was in a radio studio in Boston with our sister station, WEEI. And I was in a room where I could see through the glass, the Boston radio show happening across from me. He's in his Bruins sweater. I don't remember what I was wearing, something neutral, because I was just in a room by myself.
Right.
And we're watching TVs that are like back to back through the window. And he's like celebrating the whole game. And like, we're not like really engaging each other, but like there's a sort of a tension there a little bit.
Yeah.
And then the Hawks tie it. And then the 17 seconds later, Bolin scores and he just puts his head down on the table, and I'm like jumping around like crazy. But then I'm realizing, oh crap, I was planning an overtime, and now my show's about to begin in 5 minutes or whatever it was. So, and the Hawks just won the cup. So I like call back to the station, like, all right, let's check our connection one last time. Our connection got dropped. And I don't know if someone in Boston like ran down and dropped our connection after the Hawks took the lead. It would not surprise me. Literally
like the guy from Airplane with the power cord.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So the post game show begins with, I have two phones. I have my cell phone and I'm on the air on the score and I'm interviewing. I think I was interviewing, who was it? It might've been He Who Shall Not Be Named in one hand. Okay. like, yeah, you know, congratulations. Wow, you know, second Stanley Cup in 3 years. Great. And then he starts to answer, and I take the phone away, and I go to the engineer. Hey, I'm not connected. I got to get connected to the station. And I'm switching phones, like doing this interview and talking to the engineer.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was chaos, absolute chaos. So finally we figured it out, and I was able to go and do like a proper radio show from a studio. But the first probably 15 minutes of that was me on two telephones between Hawks guests on the ice and engineers in Boston trying to get back on the air. It was crazy.
That's insane.
But it is the perfect way to remember that game because it was just chaotic. Mm. And I want to. So you mentioned Greg getting in a fight with Boston radio guys or broadcasters. So the WEEI team like sent us a like very lewd cake. It had like little plastic phalluses and vaginas,
little plastic
and
Brad Marchands.
Yeah, like just all over the cake, and it was like, "You suck, Chicago." And we're like, "Okay, this is like we had not engaged this in any way, shape, or form." It was kind of a weird thing. And that was the same day that Doc Emmerich came to visit us, so we had to cover the cake up.
Can't offend Doc.
Doc Emmerich,
he's wholesome,
had come to see us, like, maybe the Hawks were, like, on opening day or very close to it. So he was in town, came to visit us early in the season. So we just say, hey, Doc, you know, we're right across from the Garden. Can you stop by for a few minutes, you know, in the morning? Yeah, absolutely. Comes by with our Dunkin' order that he remembered from the early in the season visit. I know you guys like Dunkin', so I brought you your favorite orders. We're like, what is this guy? Like, he's like, why do you
Doc
know
is
this?
A saint.
He's
he
like,
is a
well,
saint.
I have it in, you know, I have it in my phone from last time I was here. I guess he was like, I think he was there like with Dunkin'. It's like how, sometimes you get guests that way.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he's here on behalf of Dunkin' Donuts. Check out their new fall presented flavors, whatever.
Yeah.
So he like must have had our orders on his phone and that much later and had all of our orders precisely correct.
That's awesome.
And brought Dunkin' for us. Dunkin', well, Boston is a Dunkin' every 10 feet.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, well, the along the lines of that story you just shared, you in the studio, you know, across the window from the Boston guys, if you go on YouTube, which you should be on YouTube watching this anyway.
Yeah.
There's a great video. I think the Chicago Tribune actually put it out, and it's side-by-side comparisons of like the Pony in Chicago and a bar in Boston. And it
cheers.
Shows like the whole games.
Cheers,
yeah. Cheer, yeah. Sam Malone was crying in the back. It's awesome. Woody punched the guy. So like it's so great to watch at the same exact time,
the
one
real
fan
time.
Base
yeah.
going crazy and the other fan base crying in their Sam Adams. It's good stuff.
Yeah, it was fun. There's just so many great moments of the dynasty, and hopefully we're on our
hey,
way.
I am all for like we're here at the ground floor. We're hopping on the ride. Let's hope in 5-6 years we're having some of those moments together on the air at CHGO and celebrating with thousands of listeners and mm-hmm. and fans. It's going to be amazing. I can't wait.
From your Absolutely. Lips to host's ears, my friend. That's all we can hope for. All right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in on this show. We greatly appreciate it. We'll be back tomorrow, audio only. So make sure you check that out. Easy way to know when the podcast is ready, subscribe where you listen to your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pocket Cast, Stitcher, whatever. Turn those notifications on so as soon as it drops, you are notified and you know. Let's do the same thing on the YouTube page, of course. And make sure you become a member at allchgo.com. Get some of our great web content, the free t-shirt of your choice, all the wonderful things we offer at allchgo.com. Ad free and check out some of those awesome new shirt designs. The Chicago Skyline, the Southside Bias, and the Hey Chicago, What Do You Say Cub shirt. All three new designs look fantastic. Two of them are on the way to my house right now, so I cannot wait. All right. I think that's it, right? Covered everything?
Sure.
Yeah.
I think we're good.
All right.
Thanks. We're good till tomorrow. Yeah. Tomorrow's round of news.
That's right. Thanks to Sarah and Lawrence for producing the show today. We greatly appreciate their support as always. And thanks for joining us on the CHGO Blackhawks podcast.